Chapter 6. Cage. What was I saying? I didn't want Quinn to be with Lou. I didn't want Quinn to be with anyone. Hell, I didn't know what I wanted. Whether it had to do with Quinn, or football, or anything. I was the last person who should give someone relationship advice. All you had to do was spend 2 minutes with Tasha and me to know that.
We should get back to the game,
Quinn told me, looking a lot sadder than when we sat down. I was ruining things with him. I thought this would be something fun we could do together, but I was turning it all wrong. Yeah, we should probably get back, I repeated, willing to do anything to stop myself from talking. Returning to the game, I made sure that the kids had a great time, even if the person I most wanted to didn't.
Are we playing again next weekend?
One of the kids asked me with her mother standing behind her. I have a game next weekend. I think you do too, don't you? I asked, looking up at her mother. She shook her head.
Oh yeah, I forgot,
the little girl said with a smile. I'll let your coach know. It should be in a few weeks.
Okay, thanks, Cage,
she said, waving bye. Her mother mouthed, thank you, and the two walked off.
Is there anyone who doesn't love you?
Quinn asked, turning me around. All I care about is one, I said without thinking.
Who's that?
I had meant it to be something casual and flirty. Of course Quinn would call me on it. Anyone?
Just anyone?
I meant, I would be happy as long as I had someone to love me.
And you have that, don't you?
Do I? I asked, wondering who he was talking about.
Yes, Tasha.
This had to stop. Every time Quinn brought up Tasha, he made me say something about our relationship, which wasn't necessarily the case. Yes, she and I were together, and we were trying to make it work. But trying to make it work and succeeding at it weren't the same thing. Tasha and I aren't what everyone sees us as.
Oh,
Quinn said, suddenly giving me his full attention. Yeah, I mean, we've been dating for a while, and we've talked about our future together, but sometimes it feels like there's something missing. Actually, it feels like that a lot.
What do you think is missing?
Her presence, for one. She's never around. And that's fine when I'm in the heart of football season with twice-a-day practices. That might even work if I were to get drafted and spend a third of the year on the road. But shouldn't she want to spend time with me more than she does? Shouldn't I want to spend more time with her?
You don't want to spend time with her?
It's not that I don't want to spend time with her. It's that I don't care whether I do or not. It's harsh to say out loud, but it's true.
If you don't want to spend time with her, then why are you with her?
It's not that I don't want to spend time with her.
I get it. But it would seem to me that if you two are talking about spending a long time together, you should look forward to it.
I can't argue with that, I told him.
Then why don't you?
I stared at Quinn, not sure what to say. I wanted to say that it was because she wasn't him, but that felt unfair. Because she doesn't give me the tingles, I said, meaning the same thing.
That's important,
Quinn said suddenly in a better mood than moments before.
Have you ever felt the tingles from someone?
From one person, I told him, hoping he wouldn't ask any more.
Who's that?
Quinn asked hesitantly. Staring into his beautiful eyes was too much. I couldn't do this. Not to him. Not to myself. Someone I shouldn't feel them for.
Oh,
Quinn said, deflating. So, change your mind about grabbing something to eat? I could always grab a bite, and Tasha wouldn't be back from hiking with Vi for a few hours.
No, I should go,
Quinn said, resigned. Okay, that's fair. Did you have fun?
It had its moments,
he said with a smile. You still trust me to teach you how to be the life of the party?
First of all, I never trusted you to be a miracle worker,
I laughed.
But I'm willing to see what you have to offer,
Quinn said with a smile. Man, did I love his smile. Fair enough. I think I passed the quiz, by the way.
Good. I guess I'm not that bad of a tutor after all. Though I would have hoped you did more than just pass.
I'm sure I did. And you are a hell of a tutor. I can't wait to see what you have in store for me next.
I guess you'll find out,
Quinn said with a devious smile. Wait. Was Gwen flirting with me? However he meant it, it shot a tingle through my body and shook me to my core. When that guy did something, he did it right. I can't wait to find out, I told him before walking him back to campus and awkwardly returning to my truck. I'd never wanted to kiss someone so much in my life. I knew I couldn't, and I wasn't even sure if Quinn was interested in anything like that. At least I was able to establish that he was into guys. For the time being, that was enough. I could survive on that hope for a while. When Tasha texted that there was traffic and that she wouldn't get back to campus until late, I drove home. It was probably for the best. After spending the day with Quinn, my mind was elsewhere. After a 40-minute drive, I turned onto the empty road that led to my house. My dad's truck was running in the driveway with its lights on. Oh no, I said, knowing how the rest of the night would go. Parking next to my father's truck, I got out and looked into its windows. He wasn't there. It was a worse sign that he had made it into the house. At least if he was passed out, his night would be over. Opening the truck's door, I reached in and shut it off. With the keys in hand, I looked back at the cabin. The kitchen and living room lights poured onto the ground outside the windows. The TV was blasting. I took a long, measured breath, gathered myself, and made the short walk to the front door. Stepping inside, the place was a mess. This wasn't the way I had left it. The lamps shone from the floor where they had been tossed. The couch was overturned. The TV was sitting on its side, and things that used to be in the fridge were now scattered between the two rooms.
I don't want to hear it,
my father grumbled, drawing my attention to the kitchen table. The red-headed man looked his usual shade of ruddy pink. Like I suspected, he had a near-empty bottle, a lone-hand sour mash whiskey, clutched in his grip. Tennessee's finest. Dad.
I don't want to hear it. You know how much I sacrificed for you.
I know, Dad. You sacrificed everything, I recited from our script, while looking around to see what I had to clean up first.
That's right. Everything. I goddamn sacrificed everything. And for what?
So I could become a big star, I said, skipping a few pages ahead.
Don't you fucking do it. Don't you talk to me like that, he bellowed. I should just go. I should get in my fucking truck and never come back to this shithole again.
This was always that part that hurt the most. You would think I would have gotten used to him talking about leaving, but I never could. Maybe it's because I knew his leaving was in my hands. My father saw what I was capable of doing on the football field long before anyone else did. He saw that I would be a top NFL draft prospect, and with it would come millions of dollars. He always made clear that he would stick around for that. There was no telling what he would do once he got his cut. But until then, I was pretty sure he wasn't going anywhere. This wouldn't be a shithole if you stopped wrecking the place.
Fuck you.
Nice, Dad. Way to talk to your son.
You're not my son.
Come on, Dad. Don't start this again. This was a new subplot he had added to our script not too long ago. It went that I embarrassed him for not living up to my potential, so I couldn't be his son.
You're not. You're just some baby I stole, thinking I could make some money.
Enough, Dad. I can't take it anymore. You want to leave so bad? Here. Pitching back my arm, I threw his truck keys so hard it shattered the window and disappeared into the night. You want to go? Take your fucking truck and go. If you want to stick around and milk me of everything I got for eternity, then stay. I just don't give a shit anymore. You hear me? I can't take this anymore. Bubbling with anger, I stormed to my room. The cabin shook as I slammed the door behind me. Staring back at it, I panted in fury. Tears rolled down my cheeks in rage. I wasn't crying because of the things he said. It was because I was trapped. I had no mother or family. He was all I had. Without him, I was alone. The only way I would ever get his horrid voice out of my head was if I let him go. As hateful as he was, I knew I wouldn't be in the position I was if not for him. When sober, he reminded me of it every day, and he was right. Yeah, it was me on the field for 6 a.m. practices and 7 p.m. sprints, but all he did for 16 years was drive me from place to place and stand on the sidelines watching me play. I knew what he was doing. He was keeping an eye on his investment. And when I was 10 years old, and I would beg him in tears to do anything else but throw another football, he forced me to continue. I truly wouldn't have anything without him. Not my scholarship, not my football-loving girlfriend, and not my chance to play in the NFL. I don't know who I would be without everything he did, but man, was the price I paid too high. All my swirling thoughts stopped when I heard a terrifying sound. "No," I said, sprinting back into the living room and finding my dad gone. It was him starting up his truck. He was doing it. He was leaving. I didn't want him to go. Running outside, I saw him sway as he ground his gears looking for reverse. As drunk as he was going to kill himself. I had to stop him. "Dad!" I shouted, running to the door of his truck and throwing it open.
"Get the fuck off me," he yelled as I reached across him and again took the keys. He didn't put up much resistance after that. We were both out of breath and dazed.
"You were really gonna go, weren't you?" I asked him, staring into his eyes for the truth.
"You're not my son,"
was the only thing he replied. Hurting me was so easy for him that he didn't even look evil when he said it. He stated it as if it were a fact. "You know, sometimes I wish I wasn't, but I am. And you're my dad," I said, resigned. "Come on, let me get you to bed."
"I don't want to go to bed," he mumbled.
"Then I'll put you in front of the TV. You want that?" His mouth puckered like he was trying to remember how to pout.
"Yeah."
"Okay, let me help you inside." He leaned toward me and the door, and I took his weight into my arms. That was the beginning of a few very hard weeks. I'm not sure how different it was for my father, but for me, it was when I realized that if I didn't watch him every chance I got, he could be gone. I still went to practices, games, and classes, but not much else. The only thing that brought my life any joy was the few hours a week I would spend with Quinn. I was barely keeping up my end of our deal, but I told him I was having a little trouble at home, and he seemed to understand. I think he saw how stressed I was. I definitely didn't feel like myself. The strange thing was that Tasha didn't even notice. She didn't notice that I wasn't around as much and that my life was crumbling around me. I was starting to wonder if this was what I should expect for the rest of our lives together. With final exams and the end of the semester quickly approaching, Quinn suggested that we increase our study time. Although I was on top of everything mentioned in class since I started attending, there were still a few weeks of material that Quinn hadn't caught me up on.
"The final exam is going to cover all of that material," Quinn said with a serious look he always got whenever we talked tutoring.
"And you keep reminding me," I said with a smile.
"You need to pass this class. It's not funny," he implored.
"I know."
"Then what are you laughing at?"
"You," I said teasingly.
"Oh, that's nice. Laugh at the guy trying to help you."
"Come on, it's not like that. It's just, you get this little crinkle in your forehead whenever you start worrying about me. And when you get it, I know I'm going to get a lecture about how important it is that I pass this class. At this point, I'm pretty sure you care more about it than I do, and my entire future rests on it." Quinn looked at me for a second and then relaxed and laughed.
"Okay, I guess I've gotten a little intense about it,"
Quinn admitted.
"A little?"
"Just a little,"
he insisted.
"But it's just that I want this for you. You've spent your life working towards this one thing. I can't be the one responsible for you not getting it."
I looked into Quinn's worried eyes and stepped towards him. Gripping his shoulders in either hand, I squeezed. "Quinn, that is so sweet of you. I'm not sure anyone in my life cares about me more, but you have to know, if I don't get what I've been working for, you won't be to blame. Everything I do and have done has been my choice. You're simply the angel sitting on my shoulder, whispering in my ear, trying to get me to do the right thing. I thank you for that.
I just want you to get everything you deserve. You're so close.
I let go of Quinn and scan the campus quad through the window of the study hall. I want it too, but I feel like I'm burning the candle on both ends. Between school and football and watching over my dad, I can barely breathe.
What's wrong with your dad?
Quinn asked, concerned. What's not wrong with him? I said, searching my mind for what I could tell him that could explain it. He just needs me around a lot, that's all.
If it helps, maybe we could meet at your place,
Quinn said, hesitantly, and with a hint of something else in his eyes. When he looked at me like that, I usually lost all resistance. As much as I wanted to return our sessions to somewhere we could be alone, I wasn't sure if I wanted to subject him to my life. He didn't talk much about it, but everything about him told me that he came from a stable home and money. My life was exactly the opposite. I liked him thinking of me as the famous football player without a care in the world. I liked it when everyone did because the truth was so far from that fantasy. I didn't know if I was ready for Quinn to see me for who I was. I'll think about it, I told him.
Why not just say yes?
He asked softly. It suddenly felt like this wasn't just a request to change our venue. This somehow felt like he was asking me to, I don't know, choose him or something. I'll think about it. But I'm here now. Maybe we should get to work? Quinn's request haunted me for the rest of the night. Was I reading too much into it? I didn't think so. He had asked me why I didn't just say yes. It was a great question. It was like two worlds were clawing at me. The first was the one I had known my whole life. It included my dad, Tasha, football fame, and a huge payday. The other included Quinn, happiness, and a life I couldn't begin to imagine. Would choosing a life with Quinn mean I would have to give up playing in the NFL? It was hard to tell. I had heard of a few ex-players coming out as bisexual, but as far as I knew, there were no current players who had. And if I did come out, what was I supposed to come out as? At least gay was acceptable. Everyone cheers for the gay guy who pushes against societal pressure and overcomes it. Who cheers when someone comes out as bisexual? No one. And that's what I would be, wouldn't I? I'm not foolish enough to believe that because Quinn makes me tingle unlike anyone has before, that all of the feelings I had for girls growing up meant nothing. Sure, I've been drawn to guys before Quinn, but that didn't change what I thought about Tasha when we first met. The reason I'm questioning my future with her isn't because I'm questioning my interest in women. It's because I'm questioning if Tasha and I work together. She clearly wants to spend more time with her best friend than she does me. And now that Quinn has shown me how it feels to be cared about, I'm wondering if what Tasha is offering me is enough. Who's going to champion that struggle? What organization is going to offer me an award for having the courage to acknowledge that? And without society pushing back on the NFL, what team is going to invite a person like me into their showers? So, choosing the world with Quinn in it does feel like giving up on football, which also means giving up on having a father. Because I can't be sure how the NFL would react to an openly bisexual player, but I can be sure how my father would react to a son who doesn't make it to the NFL. At the same time, though, I might be falling in love with Quinn. I've never felt like this for anyone. I can't stop thinking about him. I fantasize about touching him. I can't wait to see him. I thought I loved Tasha. I really did. But it was because I didn't know what love was or how it felt. This feeling is what people write songs about. I get it now. And I get all those movies that implied that love came at a cost. My cost would be everything I have. I could have fame, family, and financial stability for the first time in my life. Or I could have love. That was the choice I had to make.